Amen. Please turn to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 is the prophecy of the 70 weeks. Now, we're looking at the 70th week tonight. That does not mean we're going to look at all of the events that are going to take place during the 70th week. That's going to take us 70 weeks or something like that to go through. What we're looking at tonight is the significance and the implication of the 70th week of Daniel. If we believe certain things, we need to be able to defend those things scripturally. And so I'm attempting to be thorough and give you some tools that you can use in your discussion with other folks that would help you to defend what you believe about the things that are going to come in the end times. You know, there's an awful lot of differences of belief regarding these things in these days, and many, many churches are not discussing the end times at all, saying that it's unimportant and irrelevant, and we just need to focus on the way we're living now. And I do not believe that at all. This particular subject has been a lifelong study for me. I became fascinated with it as a teenager and had a pretty good handle on things as much as a teenager could by the time I graduated from high school, and have continued to study it in depth since. And so I trust that what I share with you in these weeks and months together will be of benefit to you. We looked at the first 69 weeks the last time. We learned that Daniel learned from Jeremiah that the Babylonian captivity would last for 70 years. Daniel confessed Israel's sins and sought the Lord regarding these things. So God sent the angel Gabriel and gave Daniel information about another period of time, total of 490 years that would come upon the nation of Israel. In our study of the first 69 weeks, we determined that the 70 weeks was equal to 490 years. And this 490 years begins when a commandment is given to rebuild Jerusalem. The biblical calendar consists of a 360-day year. We went through the calculations and determined that in 483 years of the first 69 weeks of the 70 weeks prophecy, there are 173,880 days from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem unto the cutting off of the Messiah or the crucifixion of Christ. And we gave the dates for March 14, 446 B.C., 173,880 days later, takes us to April 6, 30 A.D., which would be the date for the crucifixion of Christ. Now we turn to the 70th week of Daniel. The 70th week of this prophecy, like all of the other weeks, is a duration of 7 years. A week in the scripture, we verified, refers to a period of 7 years. So the 70th week is a period of 7 years. In the text of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, there is no gap between the 69th and the 70th weeks. Observe, verse 26, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, it is possible that there is a gap suggested in the latter part of verse 26, if that is a reference to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Note that it does not say the prince that shall come will destroy the city, but the people of the prince. And remember, Jesus said, anybody that's not saved is a child of the devil. So it is possible that it suggests a gap between, but a lot of people don't see a gap, and so they run everything together and make it all historical. However, in real time, there is a very long gap between the 69th and 70th weeks of the 70-week prophecy, and that long gap consists of the church age. All 70 weeks of the 70-week prophecy, including the 70th week, is all about Israel and not at all about the church, because it says in verse 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And in this context, thy people is the nation of Israel, and that's who lives and occupies the city of Jerusalem. The 70 weeks is all about the nation of Israel. So when we look at the prophecy of the 70 weeks, and that includes the 70th week, it's all about Israel. Christ was crucified after the 69th week. It says in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, that assumes you understand that there were 7 weeks prior to that, 7 weeks prior to the 62, and then after the 62, which means after the 69th week, shall Messiah be cut off. So Christ is crucified after the 69th week. The 70th week will not begin until the Antichrist, who is the prince that shall come, makes a covenant with Israel for 1 week. It says, verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the prince... and the people of the prince that shall come. There is a prince that shall come. Verse 27, that prince that shall come shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So the prince that shall come is the Antichrist. He will confirm the covenant that initiates the 70th week of Daniel. The 70th week of Daniel does not begin until that covenant is confirmed. And that confirmation of the covenant with Israel for 1 week, by virtue of it being for 1 week, tells us that that is the 70th week. And so, as I have indicated in last several studies, there are some events that can take place, and I believe do take place, between the rapture and the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. I think it is of interest that the church age began 50 days after the end of the 69th week. Remember, Christ was crucified after the 69th week. After the 69 weeks, then Christ was crucified. And yet the church did not begin until 50 days later. So you have a gap of 50 days between the end of the 69th week and the beginning of the church, because the church didn't begin for 50 days after Christ was crucified and resurrected. Didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. Christ was crucified on Passover. Church didn't begin until Pentecost. That's 50 days after the Passover. It does not mean they were not still under the program that God had for them. It just means that the church had not begun for 50 days after the resurrection. People that were saved prior to or in between those 50 days were not in the church, because there was no church. Nobody entered the church until the day of Pentecost. That was the beginning of the church. So anybody that's saved during that 50-day time period are the same as people that God saved prior to the crucifixion and resurrection in an Old Testament context. The point being, with the 50 days separation between the end of the 69th week of Daniel and the beginning of the church age, I believe, is to demonstrate to us that there is no overlap of the program of Israel and the program of the church. Now, a lot of people believe, I don't know how many, but there are some that teach that there was a genuine offer of the kingdom to Israel in the first part of the book of Acts. That there was an overlap of the program of Israel and the program of the church in the beginning of Acts, and that there was a genuine offer of the kingdom, that if Israel had accepted the genuine offer of the kingdom in the first several chapters of the book of Acts, that Jesus would have come back right away. I don't believe that to be true. I do not believe there was a genuine offer of the kingdom. The 69th week had ended. The church has now begun. Day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And what happens to... Oh, we have to show that there's no overlap. Separate them. There's no overlap between those two, the 69th week and the church age. There's a separation there, and there's no overlap of the programs of Israel. There will be no overlap of the program of Israel and the program of the church in the 70th week of the 70 weeks prophecy. Let me demonstrate to you why I believe that to be true. At the day of Pentecost, when the church began, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then you know what happened. The Holy Spirit came down, permanently indwelt the 120 folks that were in the upper room. That was the initiation of the church. Peter goes out and preaches. Of course, they all went out and they spoke in various languages miraculously to everybody that was there. And then Peter preaches this great sermon, and there were 3,000 people that got saved. Verse 41 of chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, that is the 120, they were added unto the 120, about 3,000 souls, verse 44. And all that believed were together, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It is abundantly clear from Acts chapter 2 that from the very first day of the church, everyone who was saved from that day forward would be put into the body of Christ, including Jewish folks. Jews go into the church under the umbrella of the church. The scripture tells us, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Would you look at that, please? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. In the church, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, which is another term used to represent the Gentiles. In Christ, in the body of Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. They're all the same. Okay. However, in the Old Testament, there was a clear distinction between Jews and Gentiles. If a Gentile wanted to believe, he could come to Israel and be a proselyte. But there are still Gentiles in the Old Testament that are recognized as believers that were distinct from the nation of Israel. And in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 6, it says, "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles." And you can see a clear distinction between Jews and Gentiles in an Old Testament context. In the millennial kingdom will be the same. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. In a millennial context, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." In the millennial kingdom, there will be a clear distinction between Jews and Gentiles. There was a distinction between Jews and Gentiles in the Old Testament. There will be a distinction between Jews and Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. And there will be a distinction between Jews and Gentiles in the 70th week of Daniel. Would you go to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9? Revelation chapter 7 In Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 4 and going through verse 8, you have the list of the 144,000 Jews that are selected by tribe, 12,000 by each tribe. And then it says in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." In the context of the 70th week of Daniel, which Revelation chapter 7 is a part of, we are given a clear distinction between Jews and Gentiles, which tells us that in the 70th week of Daniel, you have saved Jews and you have saved Gentiles, and they are not in the same spiritual body. In addition, would you go to Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25. Beginning in verse 31, this is at right after the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus has returned in the second coming, and he's preparing to set up the millennial kingdom. And it says in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand," these are the sheep, "these are sheep gathered from the nations." And the word nations is the same word as Gentiles. He says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous," which indicates to us that these sheep from the nations are saved people, "then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Who are my brethren? Jews, Israelites. What he's telling us is that during the 70th week of Daniel, there is a clear distinction between believing Jews and believing Gentiles. What is the significance of that? What is true about believing Jews and believing Gentiles in the church? There's no distinction. They're together. There is neither Jew nor Greek in the body of Christ. But in the 70th week of Daniel, there are Jews and believing Gentiles, and they are distinct because Jesus is judging the Gentiles separate from the Jews based on how they treated his people in the 70th week of Daniel. That tells us that the church must not be present. Oh, I thought I had that picture up. Sorry. Here is my conclusion. If I wouldn't recommend you look at that too hard, too long. If the programs for both Israel and the church, so that you have believing Israel and the believing church on the earth at exactly the same time, and they overlap in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, there would be what I'm calling a spiritual paradigm disruption. If Israel's program is reinstated on earth in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, and the church is still present on the earth, what happens to an Israelite when he gets saved? Right now, what happens to an Israelite when he gets saved? Does he stay an Israelite, or does he go into the church where there is neither Jew nor Gentile? He goes into the church, right? Where there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now, if you have the church and believing Israel on the earth at the same time, how do you have a believing Israel that's put into the church but is distinct from the church in the same spiritual paradigm? You can't have that. Under the umbrella of the church, all Jews who are saved immediately become part of the church. If this were to happen in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, Israel would only be able to consist of unsaved people, and that would not be possible in the 70th week of Daniel. If the church is present during the 70th week of Daniel, which would mean that all Israelites who immediately get saved go into the church, you could not have any believing Jews become part of the 144,000. Be impossible. Because there wouldn't be any 144,000 believing Jews distinct from the church. They would all be in the church where there is neither Jew nor Gentile. If the church is present on earth when the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy begins, there would be no one to be identified as the remnant of Israel who has the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Drop down to verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now that's not talking about Mary. Mary, the mother of God. No, I'm sorry. It's talking about Israel. The woman is Israel. Okay? So drop down to verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Who is that? Israel. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. At the midpoint of the tribulation period, there is a remnant of Israelites distinct from the church that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. There is believing Israel on the earth during the millennial kingdom. Not the entire nation. Notice it says a remnant, but a sufficient remnant that is the particular target of the Antichrist. Believing Israel distinct from the church. If both the church and Israel are recipients of saved individuals at the same time, this would warp the spiritual paradigm of the church, because in the church there is neither Jew nor Gentile. And yet there is a clear distinction between Jews, believing Jews and believing Gentiles in the tribulation period, or the 70th week of Daniel. Clearly, from the passages like Revelation chapter 12, Israel exists as a spiritual entity on earth. The only conclusion that can be drawn is that the church must leave the earth prior to the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy to avoid a spiritual paradigm disturbance. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. Verse 26, 70th week of Daniel's prophecy is equivalent to the tribulation of the end times. That's what I'm going to talk to you about now. That the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy is equivalent to the tribulation of the end times, and we'll see that here in the context of Daniel chapter 9. In verse 26, it tells us that there is a prince that will come after the Messiah is cut off. Messiah is cut off. And a prince will come after that. The prince that comes after the Messiah is cut off is the one who makes the covenant with Israel for 7 years. Verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9, and he, the prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. It is the same prince that comes after the Messiah is cut off that is the one who causes the sacrifice and oblation to cease in the temple of Jerusalem. Notice in verse 27. And he, that is the prince that shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle of the 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 that Daniel is talking about what we normally refer to as the abomination of desolation. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, also readeth, whoso readeth, let him understand. Jesus is talking about the tribulation period. Jesus is talking about the events that take place in the tribulation period. And he's telling us, by the identification of the abomination of desolation in Daniel's prophecy, that the 70th week of Daniel is equivalent to the tribulation period. So when we talk about the 70th week of Daniel, we are talking about the tribulation period. The two are the same. Now, the 70 weeks prophecy is determined upon Israel, the people of Israel, and the city of Jerusalem. We saw that in verse 24. It's all about Israel. If you want to see that again, turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Make sure you see that on the page. Who is this 70 weeks determined upon? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. He is now going to give us six purposes for the 70 weeks. And these, I was going to mention this, the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy really does convert the earth back to an Old Testament context. There will be a few adjustments, no doubt, because of having had the gap of the church. But the church is gone, and this is the 70th week of the prophecy decreed upon the nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. Where was Israel and the city of Jerusalem in the first 69 weeks? They were in an Old Testament context. Where will they be in the 70th week? They'll be in an Old Testament context. The church will be removed. Now, as to the six specific purposes for the 70 weeks, remember that this is decreed upon Israel and the city of Jerusalem. These six purposes are not about the general population of the world. And these six purposes are not referring to what God will do for the world. This is a particular prophecy to the nation of Israel. So, when he says to finish the transgression, he means the transgression of Israel. When he says to make an end of sins, he means the sins of Israel. When he says to make reconciliation for their iniquity, he's referring to the iniquity of Israel. When he says to bring in everlasting righteousness, he means to the nation of Israel. When he says to bring a conclusion to the vision of the prophecy, he means the vision of the prophecy given to Israel, this 490 years. And when he says to anoint the most holy, he means to anoint the most holy as the king of Israel. Now, here's what you have in your notes, and we're not going to take time to go through this in detail because of the time, and you can do this. Where did Daniel learn about the reason for the Babylonian captivity? From the book of Jeremiah. And in the book of Jeremiah, he learned the duration of the Babylonian captivity would be 70 years. You notice in your notes you have references to the book of Jeremiah for each one of these 6 points. You can find information in the book of Jeremiah that relates to every one of these things. And I believe that God had informed Daniel about these things and prepared him for this information that he was giving him about the 490 weeks. Because these things are decreed upon the nation of Israel, and they were already laid out in the book of Jeremiah. So that God intends to finish the transgression of the nation of Israel. Transgression is going over the line, going beyond the boundary. You ever notice that 8 out of the 10 commandments is thou shalt not? Well, when you do what you're not supposed to do, that's transgression. to make an end of the sins of Israel. And you can read about that in the book of Jeremiah. To make reconciliation of Israel for their iniquity. Iniquity is the will. That's why I selected this picture. I don't want to. Well, that's the will. You know, the willfulness. I thought about trying to find the picture. You hear about the little boy that's told to sit on a chair because he's been bad. And he says, I don't want to sit on the chair. And he says, well, you're going to sit on the chair. So sit down. So he sits down on the chair and he says, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That's iniquity. But God is going to bring in everlasting righteousness to the nation of Israel. And this will be experienced in the millennial kingdom at the conclusion of the 70th week of Daniel. And that will be the conclusion of the prophecy, the vision for the nation of Israel. And that will be the time that Jesus Christ will be anointed the King of Israel. And what does this tell us? It tells us that God is not finished with Israel. The 70th week of Daniel has not yet taken place. There is still something for God to do with the nation of Israel. It's coming in the future. He has not set aside the nation of Israel. The church will reside in the New Jerusalem, and Israel will reside in the Jerusalem described by Ezekiel in the millennial kingdom. They're two separate Jerusalems. It's clear from Revelation chapter 21 that the New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven and is a humongous cube, will be the residence of the church. But there will be a Jerusalem on the earth, which Ezekiel describes in the millennial kingdom, and that's where the earthly Israelites will reside. Two separate spiritual programs. You know, when Jesus was here the first time, he wept over the city of Jerusalem. But when he comes again, it will be very different. Isaiah chapter 62, beginning with verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. We ought to sing, O Beulah land, right? For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That is the objective of the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. And in the conclusion of the 70th week, Israel will realize all of that. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we are praying for the conclusion of the 70th week of Daniel. that the Lord may rejoice over that grand and holy city in the promised kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for the truth that you've given us. We do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we thank you that you have a wonderful program in store for them. We rejoice in that as much as we rejoice in what you do for us in the church. And we look forward to an eternity where both spiritual entities will live in your wonderful light and glory. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.